Could you pray for me for a moment so that I can say a word that will help this beautiful mystery of the Annunciation to Mary to reach your hearts, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what God wants you to hear. And let us entrust our prayers and each other to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. As we continue our series of announcements leading up to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pause today at the announcement to Mary. This moment changed all of time and history, changed the entire universe. It was in this very moment that God became flesh and dwelt among us. This was something that had never happened before. It was happening in this moment, in this encounter with Mary, for the first time. And it opened up a mystery that continues. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in this moment, and everything changed. And now it's possible for us to continue drawing close to the Word made flesh. I dare say you wouldn't be here if it had not been for this moment, because it is the Word made flesh on this altar again that draws us to be with Him, that draws us to worship, that draws us to adore. It was this moment when Mary said yes, and the Holy Spirit descended upon her, that changed everything. What was this moment like? It's the mystery that the church draws us into today. It's not a loud moment. I think in our reflections on this mystery, maybe if you pray the rosary, you've reflected on this Annunciation thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of times in the first joyful mystery. Every year and now and again in the spring, we take up this reading from Luke's Gospel, maybe more times than that. What was this moment like? It wasn't a loud moment. It's a moment of profound silence. It was earth-shattering and yet completely silent. And it's ultimately the place that we encounter God. We encounter Him in a deep silence. I'm sure you've had moments of deep silence. Two things happen in that deep experience of silence. One is that we become intensely aware of our own poverty, of our own limitations, even our own sinfulness. We know that we are poor men and women. If you don't know this, you've never experienced deep silence. But all of us have touched that at one time or another when we're really honest with ourselves. Sometimes we use this expression in English, look yourself in the eye. When we look ourselves in the eye and we're really honest with who we are, we know that we're poor, that we're sinners. In a way, we're nothing. But another thing happens also in the silence, at least for people of faith, and we are all people of faith. The other thing that happens in the silence is we become aware that we're not actually alone. Even though we might be physically alone, even though other people might be far away, in that deep silence, we become aware of the presence of God. And we know that we're not alone, but we're in the presence of one whom we don't deserve to be in the presence of. And yet, we're also aware that it's a profound mercy. We're in the presence of one who knows us. He knows our poverty. He knows our brokenness. He knows our sinfulness. And yet He loves us. This is what happens in deep silence. And ultimately, Mary is left in that. She has this little encounter. through the word of God. There's a word that's communicated to her through the angel. And then she's left in this deep silence. It tells us this in the last word of the gospel today. Then the angel departed from her. So that little word, which was surely an interior word, something that resonated deep in her heart, more so than in her ears. Maybe it also resonated in her ears, but more importantly, deep in her heart, she heard this word from the angel. What will happen? And she felt her own inadequacy. That's why he had to say, "Do not be afraid, Mary," because she was deeply troubled. She knew that she was nothing. She wasn't a sinner like we are, but she knew that she was nothing. She hadn't made herself. She didn't create herself. She didn't make herself full of grace. She didn't give herself the grace of the Immaculate Conception. She's very aware of how poor and little she is. She knew that she had no capacity to make this mystery happen. How will this be? She knows that she's a virgin and she's worked this out with the Lord. She's going to remain a virgin. How will this be? She knows how poor she is. And yet she encounters the great mystery of God's love, of his mercy. I'm enticing you, I hope, into silence, because our world is very noisy. Unless we make a conscious decision, unless we make an effort to enter into silence and make spaces for silence in our lives, it won't come to us. It doesn't come to us on its own. And we create a very frenetic pace. We run from silence. Anytime there's silence, we turn on the radio, we turn on the CD player, we turn on the television. We find ways to fill it. We make a phone call. We check our messages. Even when we're physically silent, sometimes our constant communication with our text messaging and emails and everything else makes us very internally revved up. And then maybe we get to a point at the end of the day where we get ourselves so exhausted we just collapse into unconsciousness. And there isn't even a space there waiting alone in bed or in the silence of the night of darkness that we ever experience a deep silence in which we come into that twofold reality, a twofold awareness of our own nothingness, our own poverty, and God's infinite majesty and immense love for us. It's on the one hand beautiful and enticing. On the other hand, there's something very ordinary about it. And our liturgy is meant to lead us into that. I want to read to you two words from the liturgy that we hear every time we come together to celebrate the Maronite liturgy. You heard one of them already. The deacon says, "Remain silent, O listeners, for the Holy Gospel is about to be proclaimed to you. Listen and give glory and thanks to the word of the living God." What was it like for Mary to hear the angel Gabriel? In a deep way, it was the same as when we hear the gospel every time it is proclaimed in the liturgy. Except that Mary was very silent. She listened to the deacon. The angel is actually like the deacon in many ways, or the deacon is like the angel. She remained silent. She created a space of deep silence to receive the word of the living God. Do we do that? Do we really create a space to receive the word of the living God? Or are we waiting for fireworks and earthquakes and big noises? The devil is the one that makes big noises, not God. God works in profound silence. So we have to learn to make a habit of that interior silence, to open a space for encounter. And then the other word you're going to hear in just a few moments. How awesome is this moment, my beloved? For the living Holy Spirit descends and rests upon this offering for our sanctification. Let us stand with reverence as we pray. The living Holy Spirit descends and rests upon this offering. Isn't that what the angel just told Mary was going to happen? As soon as he departed from her, the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. And it's exactly what happens in our liturgy. The power of the Most High overshadows the offering. Now, that offering is bread and wine, but that offering is also you and me. Insofar as we place ourselves, like Mary, in profound silence on the altar, receptive to the Holy Spirit, that we can really be transformed. How many times have we come to the liturgy, and has it changed our lives? Has it really made us Christians, Christs, little Christs? Has it made us the incarnation of the Word? Has it transformed our lives so that we can be a light and transform the world? The Lord invites us. Mary models for us and prays for us. And let us try to take some moments in this liturgy where we enter into a profound silence. Again, not so important the exterior silence as the interior silence. To create a place in which we are radically honest with how poor we are, and yet also fully open to the majesty, the mercy, and the love of God.